All right, good morning. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing material for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tours and HDR photography and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast. My name is Tom. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check it out. Good morning, Timo.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing better now seeing you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I may have reached out earlier in the year or at the end of last year trying to get you on the podcast. Things have been a little bizarre, right?
No.
No. But finally, please. I pulled you from the cave.
Here I am.
Well, and you know, every day I'm on my Instagram, and every day there's like this, I'm like, what the hell, Timo? You know, it's just this great, you know, I've known you, how long have we known each other? 25 years, 20 years, something like that?
Well, I've lived in Sussex County for 21 years now. I moved here in 2000 full time, and I partied here for 17 years before that. So
you tenderized the town? You softened it?
I tell you, you know, kind of put it on the map, you know, for bicyclists and stuff like that. You know,
oh, I forgot about the bicycles.
Known for riding around town on crazy bikes.
Well, I have always known you. I first met you as the hair traffic controller.
This is true.
And I think you actually made me a shirt that said hair traffic controller.
It sounds just like me.
And I've always loved that. People go, hair traffic controller? What is that? That's Timo. So I'll give a little background. So Timo Cradle?
Cradle, actually.
Cradle.
Is the,
that was a 50-50. I knew it was
going to if you're a Yankee, you're going to say Cradle, and you will never spell it right. If you're in the South and you say Cradle, they nail it every time. It's one of those things.
Well, I've always just known you as Timo.
That's me.
And we first met at Bad Hair Day.
Mm-hmm.
You were the front desk guy, the mm-hmm. hair traffic controller, mm-hmm. and I was an assistant. And
you were washing hair. You were going to hair school.
I was in hair school.
Yeah, I was up there with my little dog, probably
being. Yeah.
In other words, the most powerful homosexual in Sussex County.
There it is.
That was me.
Well, and what was the dog's name?
I had Piet,
yes,
at the time, and I had Isabella, and they ran all over the salon and delighted people. And I mean, I've got clients with wedding albums with Piet in a tuxedo in the bride's lap getting her hair done.
Wow. And I'm assuming both dogs have moved on.
Piet and Isabella have left us. Yeah, I lost Isabella after I moved into my new house in 2019. She was 19 years old.
Yeah.
But I still have four little chihuahuas at home. I've got Tallulah May and Lolita and Phoebe and Atticus.
Awesome.
And then my boyfriend, who is in my little COVID pod, he brings his Pomeranian Augustus. So for about half the time, we have five dogs in the house, and it is a circus.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. You know, I'm trying to, like, I'm sitting here trying to think where to start. Where to start? Because, I mean, you are, how many facets do you have? I mean, I've known you as the hair traffic guy. I've known you as the bike guy. You mentioned that. The chihuahua guy.
Listen, I first became a big hit with your dad with my piano playing.
I forgot all about.
Playing at a Bad Hair Day party years ago. Dave thought that was great.
I think he played. Didn't you also play for Mike Hardy?
I did.
Yeah.
I played at your folks' house.
Yep. You played it.
Gosh.
You've been around.
That was like at least 15 years ago or so.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Man.
But the latest thing, you know. So in October, my mom passed, and
I was really sad to hear that. I'm sorry, guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, at some point, your parents, you love them, but you know, it was just best to head on to that new journey. I know she's free today, free from all that stuff. But
yep.
I get this great card in the mail from you, and it's just it was handmade, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, this beautiful handmade, almost three-dimensional. It was three-dimensional. Yeah, it unfolds. Flowers pop out. Words, I mean, the it's just beautiful. I mean, it's like out of all the things that I received, or my father and I received, which was all, you know, a lot of great stuff, but I'm like, I called my dad. I'm like, look at this. He's like, oh, my God. And I go, you know who sent that? Timo. And he's like, ah, oh, Timo. My dad always has loved you. So is that what's going on with you right now in this pandemic? Because you are a crafty guy.
I'm an avid crafter. It's really sort of peaked, of course, being stuck at home. And I have to get up on the microphone. I'm sorry.
Well, we just want
to. I don't live with one at home. I should, though. I need a filmographer to just follow me around, I think.
I'm thinking, I see a podcast for you in the future. Yeah. I'd tune in.
It really started snowballing about 6 or 7 years ago. Okay, I have always been one to make Christmas presents. I like making Christmas presents. Not that I don't enjoy shopping, but and I found some templates online for these little sort of postmodern houses, like 50s houses, gull wing ranchers, and you know, renditions of like the Brady house. And so I made these little houses for battery operated tea lights and gave them as Christmas gifts, and people went nuts. And one of them was a little camper.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine in DC, Pixie Windsor, she has a store on
Miss Pixie.
Well, in fact, your dad sells her pens.
I know.
Yes, just like Bad Hair Day. Yes. So it's kind of strange how all these things come together. But she got wind of it on Facebook, and she said, hey, you know, one Christmas, she said, would you do my window? Wow. So I went nuts. I made a couple dozen little houses and trailers and did up her window, and people went crazy. So I was taking, you know, I made a little money, and I went down on Boxing Day. She was closed on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, and I went down to close the show that she had set up for me. And as we're packing up, she said, we're doing this again next year, right? I was like, sure, yeah. You know, so, I mean, that was like 5 or 6 years ago, and I've been there every year.
So she just gave you a window, and you were able to just put all your stuff in there and just kind of display it. I'm sure it had like a whole theme.
Well, basically cuteness and Christmas. And as I was, you know, as I was packing up, and she said, we're doing this again next year, I was like, yeah, sure. So she, and she said, look, and this lady's been in business for 25, 30 years. I mean, all of that, probably more. She said, Timothy, nothing I've ever done in the window of Christmas has brought in so much business.
Oh.
I mean, she had like a busload of Japanese tourists like swarming her window outside, and then they all came in and shopped.
Now, could you buy the things inside? Did you have, so you could see them all and then come in and actually purchase them?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So she, you know, very generous friend to give me that kind of exposure. And that first year, I took the money I made and bought a Cricut. Cricut is a machine that it looks like a printer, but it actually cuts out paper.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there are other things that it cuts out too. There are different models that cut out fabric and stuff, but I have one of the initial ones that does paper. And I had seen Cricut technology prior, but you had to use like cartridges and just use their designs. Well, these many years later, they have an online design suite. You can fully customize things, and that is much more my focus, because I'm not going to be dictated by your little watering cans and flowers. I want my own. But I gave myself a year to figure out the software and how to use it, and it's not unlike the embroidery software. I also do custom machine embroidery.
Well, and it reminded me of before that you were big into sewing. You had the great sewing machine.
Still am. Yeah. Still am. So the software is very similar. So it took me about a year to figure it out and really But I was able to start replicating my houses and campers using the machine, which of course unifies your, you know, the presentation that, you know, everything's the same.
Do you have a site that we can bring up that would show any of this?
I don't have my own website. I used to, and just the administration and the cost of it just wasn't feasible.
I was just going to publish everything. Bring something up.
I publish everything on Instagram. TP Cradle on Instagram. That's my.
Can't bring up Instagram on the computer on this TV? Can we? Okay, bring it up. Let's see this stuff. Because this is
Tom has an intern. It's so cool.
He is so cool. Cody the intern. Because it is great stuff, and that's how I saw it. I mean, I call you one of the Instagram hustlers. You know, there's a group of you. That's actually how I built this podcast, on Instagram hustlers. Yeah.
Well, Miss Pixie uses Instagram for her shop, and I wasn't into Instagram until she suggested that I get an account there, because her people follow me there too.
Right. Well, and you do a great job with it.
The nice thing about Instagram is just pictures.
It's just pictures.
There's very little commentary. It's not subversive and, you know.
So the latest thing are the, like, time period piece, the time period people.
Oh, well, they're paper dolls. Okay,
right. Let's just say.
They're basically paper dolls. I'm at home making paper dolls so that I don't lose my.
But are they cards too? Like you?
They are. Oh, I mail them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they're not
just
paper dolls.
It's just cards at another level.
Right. Well, it's great. And like I said, the card that you sent for my mom was just so beautiful, and it was three-dimensional. It unfolded. It was like, and as soon as I opened it and looked at it, I go, he made this by hand. You know? I mean, that is. Ever since I've known you, you used to do a whole Christmas thing.
Still do.
You still do the big Christmas thing, mm-hmm. with the buildings and.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. Where do you? I mean, it's just. I guess you're just a creative guy.
I grew up on a farm in upstate New York. Yeah. My family makes Martha Stewart look like she's unconscious.
Mm, nice.
You know, so
here we go.
It's always about.
So what? Give your Instagram.
TP Cradle, TPCREDLE. That's basically my first two initials of my last name.
Yeah. And see, like that one right there. That's like something he sent for my mom.
Yeah, that is the card. That is the very card we're looking at.
That is, I mean, that's beautiful, right, Cody? That's amazing.
And I think on your, like, these days, like, I distress the paper with inks, you know.
Go back. I'm going to take a picture of that one.
Yeah, that's a beautiful card.
We're gonna blow you up today, Timo. We're gonna get some stuff out there because, you know, I don't know why. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe you do sell a lot of this stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Here and there. Some of these cards, you know, are really time consuming. The ones I sent this Christmas. I mean, I had all the time in the world.
Yeah, like you need something time consuming.
You
right
need
now.
Something
I have too
time,
much time.
But between Christopher and I made about five dozen Christmas cards, and the ones I sent out this year they take about 2 hours to make.
Oh, really?
One. Yeah,
that's crazy.
They were they're so intricate. Some of them,
they're beautiful.
Thank you.
And I just, you know, and listen, you know, when I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Because you were a pain in my ass in the beginning, but. Looking back, I realized I'd never been a hairdresser, right? I worked on a golf course, and I remember, Drexel's like, bro, you should be a hairdresser, and I was like, well, I'm not gay, and he goes, you don't have to be gay, you idiot, and I go, oh, you don't,
but it helps, right?
Yeah, but it helps, but you know, and I came to that world because. My buddy Rick Quill, he's like, you know, he was friends with Agnes. And remember when Agnes had the big dogs? And Rick used to come by and walk her dog for her. And I remember going over there with him and walking into the Bad Hair Day down in Rehoboth. And just walking into that world. I mean, and you were the choreographer. I mean, it was like you like the maestro. And it was like... Nobody got into that place unless they went past you. And I remember you're like, you know, I remember you saying something to me. I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what's going on. And finally, when I decided to make a change in my life and change my career. And Drexel was nice enough to let me come in there. I remember you just kind of, you know, you would say things to me and you know, I could have either been hurt, my feelings could have got bent out of shape, or I could have taken it as like, you know, this is important stuff. And you just really guided me. I think we probably wanted to strangle each other a couple times early on. Hey,
if you can't run the gamut of emotion with people that you care about, then you're not living.
Right. And it was basically like, dude, get on, either get with the program or get out. And I was like, all right, I'm getting with the program.
This is what I need right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but it was just, I was so impressed with how you handled people, you know, and we were talking a little bit before you came, before we started. But it's a whole process. Good morning. How are you? Have a seat. We need coffee. Let's get this lady taken care of, or gentleman, you know, and then the experience, and then walking through the salon, checking in with people. How you doing? People love that. You know, people, you know, it was like you didn't really feel good unless Timo had said good morning or said hi or come by and check
in. It all starts with a name.
That's right.
Greeting somebody by name.
That's right.
It all starts there.
And just watching you, because, you know, coming from the golf course business, there's not a lot of concern about what people think of me. But watching you be thoughtful with other people, it taught me, you know, take that extra second. Say good morning, how are you? Just, you know, as an assistant, because, you know, and anybody that's going to be in the hair business, you should be an assistant. Mm-hmm. You should probably be an assistant for Drexel, because it's serious. And I remember just how I dressed. I had to change everything. And
when you touch people, everything about your day is conveyed to that client.
That's right.
Through your touch.
And they can tell.
They know.
I always say, listen, it's important to do shampoos. It's important to be an assistant. Mm-hmm. There is something about touching somebody, you know, that connection. Mm-hmm. And they can feel it. And, I mean, I've had my hair cut by someone that I can tell that isn't, you know, maybe a little newer to the business.
Maybe not so confident, or maybe they're having an emotional day.
Yeah, and you can feel the nervousness just coming through them. So I just, you know, I just wanted to say thank you and for being a, like, almost like a big brother to me when it came into that to that business. And you know, I know that this quarantine is tough for people like you who are
extroverts.
A social that get your energy through being social.
It's true. You know, being at home for a year now, almost, it's challenging. You know, I struggle with depression. I'm going to come right out and say, you know, depression is an issue for me. And
how do you handle it? I mean, because I think right now it's exposed.
I tell
depressed.
You, early on, there was a day, you know, I think I slept in until like 2 p.m. And I got up and I was such a mess, you know, and I was like, you know, and I just really sort of just pulled up my socks. I was like, you know, this has got to stop.
Yeah.
This can't go on, you know.
A conscious decision.
You know, got in, you know, I moved into a new home in 2019. It was like, okay, let's get this garage together, you know. Right. Let's make sure the Christmas ornaments are, you know, not outside. And, you know, I put in a fence and, you know, and went down and organized my crafting room.
Nice.
You know, that was a big part of, you know, coming out of that funk and just, and the nice thing about my crafting is I give most of it away. I sell some stuff, but I use it for gifting, you know, at the holidays. But like, you know, you have a holiday party, I've got like a centerpiece card to bring in as a hostess gift, you know?
Yeah.
Just being able to, you know, put something in the mail and a week later get a phone call from someone who's just delighted that you reached out. You know, it's been a nice way to reach out and stay in touch with people.
Well, and I like how you mentioned, like, it sounded like you cleaned up some loose ends that it maybe have been kind of on your mind. And
well, you know, I rented a house in Rehoboth Beach for almost 20 years. The rental ran out. I had needed a place to live. You know, so 2019 was fraught with some anxiety about actually buying a house.
Right.
And then, of course, with the pandemic the following year. So it's kind of been like 2 years of teeth grinding. But, you know, getting a place to live where I could, you know, keep my stuff and not have to worry about losing a lease, that was, a loose end. Organizing a new space and, accommodating Someone new in my life. I have a great boyfriend,
nice.
Christopher. We've been dating for several months now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's a Lutheran pastor.
Okay.
Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel.
Wow.
He works in D.C. primarily. He works for the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and he is the assistant to the presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, in Chicago, and he runs an office in D.C. where he's an advocate for federal chaplains.
Wow.
So these are people who go into federal prisons and who go into combat, also in the...
like on MASH?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and these are ministers who are... You know, their congregation isn't like sitting in pews. These are people who are like either in prison or in combat or veterans hospitals. You know, these are people with really specific problems and issues they're facing. I mean, you know, when people are lobbing bullets at you.
No, I mean, remember MASH? Remember the...
Right,
the
yeah, exactly.
What was his name? I forget the preacher's name. Or the
I do too. Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about.
Father...
Yeah, that guy, right?
Cody will find it.
But, but no, Christopher is very much part of my pod now, and, you know, having a home that includes him, it's really special.
That's awesome.
It's nice.
Well, the year has been a year like we've never experienced, so I don't know.
Well, we've as much as said, you know, without COVID, we would not have been able to focus so much time on our relationship.
Yeah. Well, and then,
you know, I think kind of fast-tracked it.
And I think that, what's his name?
Mulcahy, Father Mulcahy.
That was it. Mm-hmm. Nice, Cody. Yeah, I wonder if he was a federal.
Oh, he would have been. Well, technically, yes, he would have been a federal chaplain.
Yeah.
Yes,
worked for the government.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think that the, you know, when this is all over, I'm not sure what it's going to look like in the end. But I know that you mentioned a little bit of depression. You know, I don't find myself as a guy that gets that depressed, but I'm a little depressed. It's a little depressing.
Well. Depression is normal.
Yeah. Well, I think depression is normal. It's recognizing it and figuring out some tools to get through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, you went and worked on some stuff.
Like I said, pulled up my socks and got a little busy.
Pulled up your big boy pants and got serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm tired of the dishes in the sink.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's been, you know, it's been
essentially in March, we were sent home to wait for death. I mean, you know, if you want to just cut through, you know, the fluff, we were sent home to wait for death.
Right.
Nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Well, and a year later, we kind of have a better understanding, I think, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always death, right?
Right.
I know a lot of people that have gotten COVID and have not died.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
My mother got COVID and did not die.
Right. Yeah.
She did not die from COVID. Mm-hmm. She died from something else. So it's weird, but the residual... feelings, the fear that it's created, the anxiety that it's created is, I don't know how, I'm not sure how we get back from that.
Well, you know, people have built walls around themselves right now with good reason.
Yeah. I think there's a giant group of people that kind of like this, that enjoy the drama. You know, I always used to enjoy the drama of a good hurricane. You
know, sure.
It's like, oh, well, the hurricane's coming.
Plenty of drama.
And then the house is blowing over. You're like, I'm sorry, I don't like the drama.
I changed my mind.
I don't know. But like I said, I didn't really want to talk about COVID. I want to talk about the stuff that you do. So no website? How can we get the... Maybe can I be a distributor? Can I sell them?
If you want, sure. We can set something up.
All right.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
I love the cards, and we're going to post all these pictures. But talk about so if you can see, Timo, I put this stuff up on the TV behind you. You see the one down center, but to the left? That one.
Oh, that's Krampus.
Krampus, that's right.
Krampus is Santa's helper. And actually, Krampus was a big inspiration for exploring the paper doll aspect. A friend of mine in D.C., my friend Steven, who's having... shoulder replacement surgery today, bless his heart. He's an avid rubber stamper. He does rubber stamp art that's just outrageous. Well, he made me a little Krampus
stamp,
paper doll stamp. It had articulated arms and legs. And I love that thing. I used to put it on my Christmas tree and had it for several years. Well, it fell apart. And
do you make these too?
The envelopes? Oh, yeah. I make the envelopes and everything. Because they have to be custom sized, really.
Yeah.
But Krampus was my inspiration for looking into these little figurines. And
Cody, look at that.
That's a reminiscent of a snow globe. Those are actually the Christmas cards that Christopher and I sent this year. That is the model. And on that front little medallion, I wrote, "Let it snow." And then on the back, there's room for your sentiment and to sign.
How do you get the texture on the paper? Do you have a machine
that presses? I have an embosser. Okay. I have an embosser, yeah.
You brought me a bunch of stuff.
I did. You have a gift. You have a gift bag. Do other people bring gift bags for you?
Yeah, but I was wondering,
a precedent.
Can we say, like, if anybody reaches out and wants one of these, we can give them away? Or do you want me to keep them?
Oh, well, that's entirely up to you.
Because
if you want to give some of those away, that's fine with me.
I would love to give these away because, yeah, sure. Honestly, I don't...
You would be anyway. You'd be sending them to people for Christmas if you use them yourself, so you know.
Well, I would prefer to give them away and let other people experience them because sure. I've known you for a while. I've gotten a lot of great stuff. If somebody wants one, reach out and we will send it to you. They're beautiful cards. And I'm just so impressed with the stuff that you do.
Wow.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's
beautiful. It's not crazy. It's crazy beautiful.
I was telling Christopher at Christmas time, part of what I like to do with a big project, when you're making 5 dozen Christmas cards, let me tell you, it's a spectacle. I mean, I cut out probably two. Those are for sealing the envelope if you want.
There you
little
go.
Stickers.
Look at this.
But it's Cody. Nice to, you know, put these together while I'm watching TV at the coffee table. And I usually pre-address my envelopes. In fact, the machine here, I have one that's got to go in the mail today. Where did I put it? Oh.
See, so now, your number's on here. So if people would, can I give out your number?
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody out there is interested in getting a card, a handmade card, well, I put it this way. If anybody's interested in talking to Timo about cards, you can reach him at 302-745-TIMO.
Correct.
Was that by chance that it was Timo, or did you get a new number?
Years ago, when I first moved here, I had one carrier from D.C.
Yeah.
Who was awful when I moved to the beach. I had to drive down the road, actually, to check my messages, which was redefining mobile phone.
Mm.
The manager for Singular at the time was a client, and I was having these phone issues. So as Barb was checking out of the salon one day, I said, "Barb, why would I hate Singular less than I hate this other group of people who I'm using?" She said, "Come on and get a loaner." So I got a loaner phone, and anyway, so when I finally signed up for their service, I looked for an exchange. I asked if they had an exchange that ended in 8466, which on the phone dial, you know, spells Timo. And so I have 302-745-TIMO as my phone number.
That's freaking awesome.
So that was on purpose.
That's awesome. Well, Cody's taking pictures of these cards. Dude, these cards are phenomenal. I mean, that one,
the little flannel
up,
shirts
flannel.
Are great. The flannel shirts are great, yes.
That is freaking awesome. I might not give that one away.
That's okay.
I might keep that one. You want one? You can have one.
You can have one. Man.
Absolutely.
I think I gave you about
half. Look at the little pocket.
Little pocket, little tiny buttons. I have to put those buttons on with tweezers.
Dude, that's so great. And so what I'm looking at is basically, it's a blue and green flannel card. And it opens.
Just like a shirt.
Just like a shirt. And then you have the area inside to write.
On the wife beater.
On the wife beater. Can we say that anymore? I don't know.
Well, we just did. So.
Whoops.
Oops. Oops. Sorry, all you wives out there. You don't deserve that.
You know, down the street from me, they planted a whole field of black-eyed Susans. And then I'm like, can you say black-eyed Susans anymore? I don't know.
You know, it's...
Not sure where black-eyed Susan came from, but I feel like I have to not use that one anymore.
I think we question a little too much about our language sometimes, but I mean, dude, it's important to be inclusive. I'm
dude,
not
there's
saying
some people getting
anything,
assassinated right now because of truly, the stupidest little
truly.
Things. And listen, you don't want to have hate. I get it. We get it. But wow, it's sketchy. Just, I guess, you know, be careful what you say. But it's a white T-shirt or a white
Yeah. Sure. A little, yeah, without, yeah.
Sleeveless.
It's a sleeveless t-shirt.
Sleeveless t-shirt underneath. But it's great. It looks awesome. And I can't wait. Are these all the same?
You've got 4 different designs in there.
Okay, so these are all the flannels?
You should have 6 flannel shirts.
Oh, they're different.
But they are different plaids. Yeah, they're different colors.
Cody.
Oh, no.
There we go. That's Norwegian almost.
But you've got 2 that are poinsettias, and then I think there's a half a dozen that are the snow globes. There are some little ones in there that look like stars, Star of Joy.
Well, we're going to take pictures of everything. We're going to dump them all over our Instagrams.
Go right ahead.
Instagram everywhere, and it's going to be all Timo all day today with these cards.
Now, I asked him to bring some of the cards I've sent him in the last few months. There's this one. Now, it's not put together very well, but this was like the first prototype of this one I made. It's a little Jeep. And this is a great example of some of the 3D stuff that I do.
Yeah, let him, if you got something, and you can let us take a picture of it. That's great.
Let me go through my little goodie bag here.
Dude, that's awesome.
So.
What I love about them is that they fold up.
The 3D ones, they fold, like if you put the trunk up and then give it a flip, yep, you got it. It folds flat, goes right in an envelope.
That is so fun.
This one is kind of cool because of...
It goes under... Oh, I see. The hood goes under the flap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that holds down for display.
I got you. And we'll post pictures on... Check out all of our Instagrams. We're going to post pictures of these. To move Timo up and post his podcast.
This one's kind of fun because, it says, I love you to the moon and back.
Uh-huh.
Well, this little moon is actually a pen and ink drawing that my computer does. I've programmed my computer to do a pen and ink drawing of the moon.
Well, you know what's funny? Every night my wife tells my daughter, to the moon and back. Love you to the moon and back.
Oh, she'd love this.
She'd love that.
She'd love this. Here we have this one. This was a Valentine. I gave Christopher a couple of Valentines this year, and this one's a little pop-up roller coaster. That one's kind of fussy. Now this is one of my favorite cards, because it, well, I'll just let you. It has a cow farting. Okay, the cow is farting. Happy birthday! And the sentiment underneath says, "Words escape me."
Words escape me.
And I will point out, you can change out the fart. I can customize the fart for you, which you're not going to get anywhere. Okay,
right.
Just anywhere. But congratulations, happy birthday, happy anniversary. You know, things of that nature.
Is there a store you can get these at?
No, you just have to know me. You just have to know
me.
Here's a little trifold sort of Valentine. This one works nicely with a paper that's printed on both sides. Some papers for scrapbooking.
Here, give me. Yeah, there you
go. Are painted on both sides.
Oh, is that a Valentine's?
It's a little Valentine.
I can tell you, I didn't get a Valentine's card from my wife. I said it should either say, you're 50% a pain in the ass and 50% I love you more than anything. So that's what, to me, is a perfect relationship. Half pain, half love.
Hey, you know.
Actually, it's probably 51% love, 49% pain.
It's about tolerating people, really, is what it's about. So,
is that the Krampus?
This is in the. I have Krampus in here. I'll have to find it. But this is a steampunk deer businessman.
Dude.
Holding a key and a fish. He's fully articulated, legs and arms move. He's holding a key and a little salmon here. On the back of it. Now, this was one of the Valentines I gave to Christopher, and on the back it says, "You hold the key to my heart, deer." D-E-E-R.
Oh, deer. And it's got antlers, like
it
a
has
deer.
Antlers,
deer head.
Antlers,
right?
And a top hat. Here's a little bunny ballerina, and on the inside it says, "Some bunny loves you."
That's awesome.
So let me go through the envelopes here. So here, what's in here? Oh, this one I love. This is Marie Antoinette on wheels. Her arms articulate, the wheels roll.
How do you come up with this stuff? Because this just, I mean.
I'm just a magnet for weirdness. On the back, it says, you rock, I
roll.
Can
I see that one?
Yes, you may.
This is good.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
That one's hilarious.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, I meet a lot of people. And, in fact, I just met somebody the other day that was talking to me about doing a an e-commerce store. And I'm like, e-commerce stores are great if you have something unique to sell. But if you're just going to drop ship pillows and pins and feathers and all this other garbage, you're, you know, what's the point? This is unique stuff. This stuff is unique. There he is.
Here's Krampus.
King Krampus.
He's great.
Oh, you got it. There we go. Sorry. Let me see King Krampus real fast before Cody sweeps. Dude, I'm going to have to just...
Was that me? Did I hit something?
Awesome. Dude, that's it. So what would that card be good for?
That's Christmas.
Oh, right, Christmas.
Krampus. Krampus is Santa's assistant, and while he does help with organizing the sleigh and the gifts, he's also quite helpful in doling out the coal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Krampus doesn't mind getting his hands dirty.
Krampus, he doesn't mind hurting some feelings.
No, he's the heavy.
He's the heavy.
Krampus is the heavy.
I was watching something, this I don't know, and some kid, they posted a video, and this kid literally got a bag of coal. I mean, it was like, he must have truly been a very bad kid, because she's like, I told you, you're getting coal.
It's there for a reason.
It's there for a reason.
It didn't just happen. Now, here's some. I'm quite fond of Marie Antoinette, and I have a few representations of her with her head on. But here's Marie.
Let me take a picture of that one.
She's quite beautiful.
Yes, she is.
And then we have her husband, Louis XVI. Louis says, as they say.
So do you think that this, do you think this COVID, this quarantine has helped stuff like this? Or would you have done this regardless? I mean, I know you do this, but like, I have never seen these kind of cards in this.
Well,
many.
I'll tell you, we'll get back to, you know, we'll touch on the fabulous boyfriend again.
Right. Christopher
gave me a beautiful iPad Pro and Apple Pencil for Christmas.
Okay.
Which is the sole facilitator of this kind of work.
Okay.
What I do is I buy clip art and templates, and this, the Apple Pencil, allows me to cut out these images.
Oh, do you? Is it, you can tie it in with the software for the cutter?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes. So there's a trick to manipulating the images. It's not like necessarily cut and dry. With trial and error, I've been able to nail it.
Well, man, I can't. I mean, over the years, you've had, every time you do something, I go, well, I would have never thought of that.
How did that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen? You can use an iPad and pencil all you want, but you still have to have a creative thinking, creative ideas. I mean, who would have thought to make that? Marie Antoinette. Oh, okay. Let me get that.
Here we go. This is a steampunk time-traveling Cupid. And I have a his and a hers on this one. I usually make these together.
It's hysterical.
Here's the lady.
So what are these? What are these for? Just
giggles. They're for giggles.
I love it. Giggles.
I mean,
important.
You know, make up a reason to send a card.
Right. If I wanted to buy that card, do you have I know you say you love giving it away, but if someone wants to, listen, I don't know why.
Well, you know,
I'm not sure why you didn't roll up in a Mercedes-Benz.
I try to, I price two ways and come together at the middle.
Okay.
I look at my time spent, and these articulated cards, each card takes me about an hour to make.
Right.
And so, you know, so I bill out at about $20 an hour. So, I would ask $20
for one card.
For one of these cards. Some of them are a little bit more involved, which might, you know, I might
like the card you gave me for my mother.
Oh, the pop-up cards, that one would be about 35 to 40 depending. Okay.
But it's a special occasion. That's, you know, I think we've gotten, so we just give cards for everything, which is great, but listen, these Okay, that is really cool. Yeah, because you had to put that whole thing together, right? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And that's, that's an octopus.
This is an octopus. This is with like the arms that move. Oh yeah, articulated octopus arms. This one's fantastic. Really, I love that one.
That's awesome.
What else have I got here? Oh, this is this one is nuts. I just made this one yesterday. This is
oh my god,
a flying farthingale sexy angel kitty. The farthingale is actually that's the support for a hoop skirt.
Oh yeah.
Which I was able to replicate in paper there. And I've actually woven her bloomers through it so she looks like she's inside it. If you look at the perspective.
That's awesome.
This one is fun. What would it be for? Who knows? This one is just crazy. Okay, some of these cards are just crazy.
Well, I may have to, I don't know. I'd love to maybe
now this
carry a few of those.
This one, I brought the envelope because my machine actually does this beautiful calligraphy as well.
That's awesome.
This one's going to Chicago. My friend Sonia has had a cancer scare.
Uh-oh.
Hang in but there, Sonia. This is... You're going to love this because it's our friend Frida Kahlo. She has articulated rosebud hair. She's, oh, hold on.
Oh,
to fix her shoe.
Legs one,
and
legs
if you know leg. Anything about Frida Kahlo, she was a handicapped individual. So I've actually represented that in her.
Shortened a leg.
I've shortened her leg. Her right leg did not grow as long as her left leg.
Well, listen, so. let's. I love this cards, but let's talk about let's move on because the problem is nobody can see us right now.
Correct. So I know. It's yeah. We're just teasing them.
Yeah, we're just
just teasing them.
I'm gonna post all these pictures, and you can get to you can reach at like we said 302-745-TIMO. I'm going to try to become the first distributor of Timo cards ever. We have to wheel and deal and try to figure out how to make
that
happen.
I have sold some at Bad Hair Day. Drexel was very generous and gave me some shelf space some years ago. And it's just...
Dude, I'll give you shelf space.
It's a fun way to reach out to people. And I mean, folks have always wanted to know what was on my mind anyway. You know, part of coming to Bad Hair Day and talking to me is just, you know, catching up on... You know, local stuff and, you know, fun things and ideas. But I think when you can pick up a card in an envelope that, like, you know, came out of my mind, you're taking a part of me with you.
Right.
And that's the nice thing about actually receiving these cards.
Well, I mean, listen, this has got to be, you know, and I'm sure you make some ones that are probably a little cheaper, but I know, like, mm-hmm. if you're giving that card to somebody, that's that card, I mean, like the card that you gave for my mom,
it's
I'll never throw
piece.
That away. That card will be saved out of all the stuff, and believe me, I got a lot of stuff. I'm going to keep that because I thought it was super... It was great because I know you made it by hand, mm-hmm. and that, to me... really meant a lot.
Well, and, you know, there's a certain level of energy that just goes into that kind of a creation. It's like, you know, this is like I'm thinking of you personally when I make it.
Yeah.
You
so
know,
one of the things that I've always appreciated about you is you just really don't have a lot of fear. Right?
Well, that I show anyway, I guess. It's
well,
funny.
And, but, you know, it's, you know, lately the topic, I do another podcast called I'm Sorry About Last Night. And in that podcast, I've been talking a lot about freedom. And, you know, the Bruce Springsteen commercial for the Super Bowl was about freedom. And I kind of got a little annoyed because I feel like freedom is a byproduct of a lot of hard work. And there's a point in your life, there was a point in my life where I said, I just want to stop being afraid and start enjoying my life. And saying that and doing and trying new things, stepping out of my comfort zone, you know, you could do something like that and people could be like, that is silly. And, you know, you'd be like, and you could maybe get your feelings hurt or maybe get discouraged and not want to do it. But you don't care.
You know, it's funny you should talk about fear because years ago, I had this conversation with my best friend who was dying. And, you know, we lived through the AIDS crisis, and I took care of my best friend until he passed in 1995. And Let me concentrate for a second and try to remember exactly how we said it. You know, my fear of taking care of him so intensely was that at the end of it, I was going to be different. Mm. And not that being different is a bad thing, but it's unknown.
Right.
And at the end of it, at the end of living through that and taking care of Kelly, I realized that things didn't scare me as much anymore.
Right.
I don't let things scare me. Some things are scary. A flat tire, to me, that's scary.
Yeah.
Car trouble is scary because I don't know jack about it, right. You know? But, you know, when it comes to people and when it comes to, you know, relationships and feelings, you have to live with a certain amount of vulnerability or you're not going to, now this is sounding like TED Talk now, but...
It's real.
If you are unable to accept a level of vulnerability, you are not going to progress.
Well, that's right. And you are not going to be free.
You're not going
to
be free.
You know, the message on the Super Bowl was like, listen, let's get back to freedom. And it's like, freedom isn't a right. I mean, people think it is, but freedom is a byproduct. And I know when I moved to, you know, I had grown up in Albuquerque, you know, in the... and I remember, you know, we live in a gay community. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rehoboth is a gay community. Mm-hmm. And I remember moving here with this pre-existing kind of weird hate. Not that I had a hate, but it was like kind of what the culture was. Oh, we don't like gay people or something. And I remember thinking, this is weird because this whole town, you know, it's a lot of gay folks. And if I decided to exclude myself from those folks, I'm missing out on a lot of friendships, a lot of great relationships, a lot of good life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision. I go, you know, I don't know what the issue was. I don't know why people have this issue, but I don't want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, and it, whether it's gay, being sober, just, you know, like the in sixth grade, standing against the wall, not wanting to dance, right? Because you're afraid or what people are going to think.
Well, you know, people look at like these beautiful cards. Well, you know, how many of these did I make that were a complete disaster before, you know?
Right.
I sew. And years ago, my friend's mom was giving me some pointers. And one of the best pieces of advice was, if you make something that you don't like or it's not up to your standard, throw it out.
Right.
Don't let it sit in the closet. It's, you know, reminding you of your shortcomings. In this particular instance, you know, if it's not pleasing you, you know, you learned something obviously, but just throw it away, get it out of your sight and start on. It's part of the reason why I don't keep a lot of stuff on hand. I made a beautiful haunted house and display for Halloween, and it was about, you know, I had it all finished about 2 weeks before Halloween. And I called up my friend Bill over at House of Modern Living in Millsboro. I said, can I do your window? I said, because I'm looking at this beautiful thing and I have to get it out of my face. Because when I have a finished product that sits around, I stagnate.
Right.
I want it out in front of people. I want other people looking at it and enjoying it. But when I have like this big product, it's like it almost becomes an albatross. Yeah. I mean, and I don't want to talk down my own work, but it actually prohibits me from doing something else.
Well, and it looks like a lot of the stuff you do is very seasonal. It's very, you know, there's nothing worse than a Christmas tree sitting around in January.
Right.
You know, it's like, put it away.
Right.
Let's move on.
But for me, it's like, you know, I don't want a stack of these Christmas cards sitting around at home. I want to give them away. I want to delight people. And having that empty space on my shelf is what motivates me to then fill it again.
Well, I guess what my point was is that you have always just said, you know, I'm going to just keep trying things and keep doing things. And
oh, nothing motivates me more than you telling me that I can't do it.
Right.
You know, years ago when I was at Planet X, I still make a great chocolate martini, but I wanted it. I like garnishing martinis. I'm a great bartender. I'm a great mixologist. not a big drinker myself, but I do make great cocktails, and I wanted to affix a little truffle on the martini glass, and I had a smart-ass waiter who was like, "Oh, you'll never be able to do that." Well, give me 10 minutes. You know, went around the corner to the candy.
Truffle martini.
I went into the candy kitchen and I got a box of truffles. And of course, you know what a martini glass looks like. Well, if you take a lighter and just melt the bottom of that chocolate just a little bit.
Just a bit.
You can wedge it on the inside of that glass. And when you fill the martini glass, it looks like a chocolate island floating in your martini.
Nice.
Well, I couldn't make them fast enough after that when people saw them. You know, so again, it's like, you want to motivate? Just tell me I can't do it.
Well, then, you know, you see creativity right there. I mean, I never thought of that.
You can't turn a grocery cart into a 24-foot tall pirate ship. Well, watch me.
Okay, I forgot about that. Let's talk about the pet parade.
Anything, okay, greatest accomplishments.
Every time you speak, you remind me about five different things. I forgot about Planet X. I forgot about the pet parade.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, my dogs are probably more, you know, better known than I am even.
Yes.
And the pet parade has always been a huge. What's funny? First year I did the pet parade was in 2001, and I had Piet, and of course everyone knew him from the salon and from all directions. People, oh, you have to do the pet parade. You have to do the pet parade. And I'm just like, what are you talking about?
So the pet parade is this, it takes place Sunday after Sea Witch.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sunday of Sea Witch is the pet parade on the boardwalk.
It's almost like the locals parade.
Correct. And so, I dressed up, and I mean, I just had Piet at the time, so I, you know, did a sort of a ghoul costume. I did like skull makeup, and
well, you had the gravestones.
That came later. But the first year, I just had Piet. I painted a little widow's peak on his forehead with an eyebrow pencil and put some bat wings on him. But my point is, it's like he and I together were one display, right?
Yeah.
So I went down to the pet parade, and it was. I mean, I'm looking around, and it's like a couple of golden retrievers with like tequila sunrise t-shirts and sunglasses. And I was the only person who was like dressed up with the dog.
Yeah.
Well, we won the parade. We got on the news. You know, I mean, it was like crazy. So the next year, my girlfriend Randy was like, "Oh, you come, you know, we do the pet parade this year." Oh, I was like, I'm not going to go down there. And
how is she? Have you seen her?
I have not. I have not been in touch with Randy regularly, but I know she's working over in Lewis. I just found her Instagram account a couple weeks ago.
I run into her every once in a while, and I'm like,
she's a great lady. I miss her, too.
She was so awesome. But she's still around, but I just haven't seen her lately.
She was on me about, what are you going to do this year? I was like, I'm not going to go down there with those losers, with those stupid golden retrievers and the sunglasses. And she's like, oh, come on, please. We have to go down. We have to educate them. So we did it at like a goth vampire theme. And
she egged you on.
She egged me on, and she had chihuahuas of her own. So
she's like,
you know,
I don't think you can do it.
Kinda.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. So we went down and we slammed it out, and you know, we won again. And other friends wanted to join me, and I included them. And then we did.
Was that the year that you basically rolled a cemetery down the boardwalk?
That was, I think, 2000 and that might have been 2008 or 9. We did a display that was the one that really went crazy was 50 sock hop.
Okay.
We did a 50 sock hop. So I got like one of those kidney bean shaped 1920s preambulators for the dogs, and I put poodle skirts on all my girlfriends, which I made, and then I put poodle skirts on the chihuahuas as well, and little bowling jackets, and we played Sha Na Na. I put on an Elvis wig. Nobody knew who the hell I was because I had hair. Nobody knew who I was. It was really funny. So we walked on the boardwalk, and people are screaming and just losing their minds. Little Ferdinand, 2 pounds of attitude, out in front. I mean, he was just a ham bone, and people went crazy. So as we're leaving the field that year, somebody said to me, "Why are you going to top this?" And I looked at him. I said, "I need a float."
Yeah.
And no pathetic excuse for a float. No radio flyer wagon. You know, I need a float. And some people I knew had an old derelict shopping cart.
Yeah.
Which is basically a big square grid on wheels, so you can zip tie anything to it.
Yep.
Well, 24-foot tall pirate ship got built on my front porch, and we went down to that parade. My display was so large, we didn't even fit in line. And they just looked at us and said, you should probably just
go
lead the parade.
Yeah.
So we did. We went, and again, people were, I have photos of the crowd. People, mouths are open. They're just like, wow. And my dogs were so wonderful because while I build these floats, I bring the dogs out and I let them sit on it while I'm working on it. So they have, you know, so they're used to it. And and they always perform greatly. So I think it was, I forget what we did next, but yeah, I think we turned the shopping cart into a 15-foot long cemetery. Yeah. We all wore skeleton costumes. We revisited the bat wings. It's kind of funny. I mean, I dressed the one year I did like 18th century royal family gowns for dogs. I mean, capped sleeves and beaded gowns. And what do people remember? The $10 bat wings.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I remember the little cemetery stones and
we made the cover of the Cape Gazette that year, as we have other years.
Are you still doing it? Are they still doing it? I mean,
well, the last time I entered the parade was 2018, and we did we went like gowns and bat wings. You know, we put that back in the mix, but I dressed up all my friends in our 19th century, you know, waistcoats and morning coats and top hats. And I wrapped us all in black tulle. So we were like trailing black ether. It was funny. The children loved the dogs. They would not come near us.
Yeah.
The people were very scary and the dogs were charming. And of course, walked out one, you know.
Well, I don't think we didn't do Sea Witch last year.
No. There was no pet parade in 2018 or 2019.
Yeah.
2019, it was canceled because of rain.
Right.
So, you know.
Both days, or was it just the pet parade?
I think it was just Sunday. I mean, not that it matters too much, but it was just Sunday. And that was the year that I had just moved into my new house, so there was really no.
Are you still in town or are you out of town?
I live in Millsboro now.
Okay, Millsboro.
I'm right off 113 in Plantation Lakes. I bought a lovely townhome, brand new, floor to ceiling, brand new. Boy, I did not picture myself in townhome living, and I'm so glad I was wrong.
It's fine.
I've got a three-story townhome over there. It's just shy of 2,000 square feet. I got a great price on it. My neighbors are wonderful.
Well, I was going to say it all. I mean, you can have the best townhouse, but it comes down to your neighbors.
I'm on a first name basis. I have phone numbers for everyone in my little. I'm in a little block of like six townhomes. I've got a gay couple next door who could not be nicer, and I've sort of taken it upon myself every time I see somebody I don't know. Hey, neighbor.
Yeah, and see, that's what I was talking about. There's you can find people that wouldn't do that, wouldn't say hello. And then, you're not experiencing your awesome neighbors.
Well, here's what I know about everyone who's moving into that neighborhood. We've all been through the same stuff. We've dealt with shopping for a home. We've dealt with getting approval on a mortgage. We've been looking at homes across the county. You know, we've gone through a move. We all have like things in common, and saying hello to people that you have something in common with is easy.
Right. Well, it's saying hello to the people that you don't have anything in common with.
It's easy too.
It can be easy.
It is. It is. But I've just been very proactive about, making eye contact and saying hello because I do it professionally.
I mean, what was it like to leave the town?
It was a little heartbreaking at first. Because I had to do it quickly. Yeah, that was part of the anxiety behind the move, and
Because you were in town, right?
I was back in Bay Vista. So I was right across the highway from town, just, right. you know, a 15, 20 minute bike ride away. And folks would come into the salon and be like, I haven't seen you on Bay Vista Road. And, you know, when I would tell them that I bought a house and I moved to Millsboro, it was like, you could see like this proprietary thing, like, what? You know, like, I was like, well, like, you know, I just didn't have that $1.5 million to put right. down on a starter home.
On a porch.
It was a little hard.
A porch in the garage.
To get that kind of money together.
Well, we're getting ready to do something. And an option is we leave town. And I didn't live in town. I always say there's Rehoboth and there's Rehoboth Beach.
Right.
I live in Rehoboth. But it's pretty close. I mean, I can ride my bike to the beach. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
Well, I tell you, there's that, but I'll tell you, I don't miss the traffic congestion.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't, you know, I lived, you know, what, a mile and a half, 2 miles from Giant, and it would take me like, you know, you'd be on the road like 20 minutes just going to the store around the corner.
It's not the time, it's people, no. Well, let's not ruin a good podcast by talking about traffic, because it will ruin it.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, there are things about being over in Millsboro that are nice, and I don't miss the congestion. Like I said, great neighbors, people, you know, when you're out and about shopping, you know, people say hello, people hold the door for you, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen over here in Rehoboth Beach, but Millsboro is a different demographic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of the people who actually work in Rehoboth. These are service people,
right,
for the most part. You know, and I got a beautiful home at like less than half the price of what I would have had to pay for the place where I was living, you know, that I was renting.
Well, I know that, it is a... I know when I lived over in Easton, Maryland, I took a job over there back in 2000, and I was like, you know, I hated to leave the town, but Easton was amazing, and there was, you know, it was very simple. You know, it's not that chaotic craziness that goes on here at summer. I mean, people think summer's great, but, it, you know, midsummer, it's basically like February in a snowstorm. You got one trip out, and that's it, and from that point on, you're not going out anymore because the traffic's just so stupid.
Right, right.
It's really crazy.
Yep.
Well, listen, it's been an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tom, thank you. This is delightful. I'm so glad to see you, and
always.
You look great, and it's been fun to sort of...
Well, will you come back?
I will come back, sure.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, why not?
I can have you on all the time. Yeah, this is good.
You need some ashtrays in here, though, I think.
Some ashtrays? Are we going to start smoking? Are you smoking?
Only when I have a cigarette.
Okay, well, that used to be me.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, I go, I can't wait till I'm 70. I'm going to start smoking again.
Hell yeah.
When I can't run, when I'm just done with it.
Mm-hmm,
We'll work on the ashtrays.
Okay.
All right, Timo. Well, listen, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What's his number, 745 Timo?
302-745-TIMO.
302-745-TIMO.
Send me a text.
Yeah, send him a text. We'll post all this stuff, and I think... The problem with these damn podcasts, every time I do them, I'm like, all right, let's put him in front of everybody because this I want to just get this out. But we just did. It's like, we'll never get them all out. But
and we'll take some more pictures once we're off. We'll
take pictures. I'll post these on our Instagram. TD Cradle.
TP Cradle.
TP Cradle.
TPC REDLE. TPC REDLE on Instagram.
And give him a message. And listen, check out his stuff. That's not why I had you. I had you on because you're creative. You know, I don't think... You're going to have any trouble selling these cards. They're so cool.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you, brother.
Anytime.
I'll see you soon.
Anytime.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
I am freaking hungry.
Oh, my God. So am I.
Well, what are we going to eat?
Titanic Pizza.
It's best pizza.
Dude, Titanic Pizza is located right next door, half mile west of Route 1 on Cave Neck Road.
Painter's Mill.
Totally. Is it open every day?
7 days.
Does it serve lunch and dinner?
Everything but breakfast.
Wow. You know what?
They might even do midnight snacks.
Oh, my God. I love lasagna.
Well, they have, I think, what is it? Dough pizzas, dough chicken parm.
Salads.
Subs to salads.
Man, they've got it all.
They've got it all. They all have a number?
They do. 302-664-2633.
Website?
www.titanicpizzeria.com.
Find the whole menu?
Yes.
Nice. Check them out. We love them.
delivery, and in person.
That's right.
Man, let's go get a pizza right now.
I'm out. Bye.